following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
From police officers to firefighters, from storm chasers to race car drivers, expert drivers who demand the most from their tires choose the superior performance of Goodyear.
Goodyear is constantly testing, innovating, and looking for ways to improve upon your ride. You can feel confident riding on Goodyear tires because everything they learn from making tires for the experts inspires what they roll into yours. It's even the official tire of NASCAR.
For superior traction, handling, and performance, even in challenging weather, choose Goodyear tires. Visit Goodyear.com to find a great set of tires. Goodyear, more driven.
Plumbers, Waterworks, and HVAC pros, this is Coach Terry Bradshaw. Are you looking for a team that gets you the supplies you need?
Yeah.
Then you want Ferguson. You can order your materials online, then pick them up at your branch or have them delivered.
Yeah.
And with Ferguson Pro Plus, your online orders now earn points you can use to get cool stuff, electronics, sports gear, even trips. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Then check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com.
For a limited time, score double points on all faucets. Get started at Ferguson.com/.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Edition of the Doug and Danny Show. Glad you're along with us. We've got plenty to talk about. Some good, some not good, and we will be talking about both. Coming up today, gone yesterday. I want to thank Randy and Jim for filling in, taking care of business here as we were on our way to Stewart. Popped in briefly via the phone yesterday. But a few things that we haven't got a chance to get to, and it's going to be a full show today. We're going to talk to our three state championship volleyball coaches, Alan Van Curia of St. Cecilia, Chris Connor of Kearney Catholic, Kurt Polt from Giltner. We're going to talk to Daryl Morris, and we're going to talk to Tony Harper. The all-conference football teams have just been released this morning. We'll talk about that. And there are some players out there. In fact, UNK even has a first-teamer, despite the 3-8 record this year. So we'll talk about that, put a wrap on the season. Also, the Huskers, you know, is what it is. We talked about it yesterday. The lack of knocking, I mean, I want to come on and say I told you so. That's what I want to do, and I want to have a good discussion about this, but today's not the day. We'll have our Husker lunch tomorrow. Sean Callahan will be in. We'll be at Cunningham's. We'll get ready for Penn State. Seriously, I sat here on this show after the Minnesota game and told you, don't freak out, and everybody was freaking out. If your true freshman quarterback doesn't turn the ball over three times on Saturday, Nebraska wins that football game, and Nebraska is probably going to Indianapolis. Yes, they have to beat Penn State, which at the beginning of the year I said would be one of the two toughest games Nebraska will have to play. And that's the problem, because if Nebraska doesn't win at Penn State, then everybody's going to say they rolled over and just gave up on the season. Penn State is going to be playing their bowl game on Saturday. Last home game, no postseason, winning record. Their bowl game is Saturday against Nebraska, and that's a tough enough place to play the way it is. That's going to be a tough game. Penn State favored by 2. Then Iowa, I still expect that that will be a Nebraska win and a fairly easy Nebraska win, although they've been able to run the ball. I don't know that that's a problem anymore. Nebraska was a better football team than Michigan State Saturday. Now, maybe not for the whole year. I don't know. Saturday, Nebraska, talent-wise, was better than Michigan State. And, you know, Michigan State fans, congratulations. I hope you go give Ohio State absolutely everything and beat them. I'm rooting for you. I got no problem with Michigan State fan. I'm just saying, Nebraska definitely had a chance here. The conversions on third and long, and you watch some of those pass plays, it's not like they were wide open like Nebraska fans have seen in some blowouts in the past. It wasn't like their wide receivers were running all over the place wide open. Balls that were caught one-handed that were right over the fingertips of a defender. It's frustrating. Everything about Saturday I get was frustrating. But when I sat here 3 weeks ago and told you that Nebraska's goals are still intact and they could make it to Indianapolis, I think, come on. You have to admit this 3 weeks did not go like you thought it was going to go. Everybody that was bashing the Huskers. Secondly, the Monday night game last night. Hey, I wanted New England to win. I had them in a pool. I wanted New England to win and cover. If they would have called interference or holding, and the proper call was holding, by the way, which is a 5-yard penalty. You're not going to get the ball at the one. So the proper call was holding, and they're not even talking about that today. They wrap the guy up before the ball is in the air. That's holding. That's a 5-yard penalty, and it moves the ball from, what was it, the 19 or the 17, so you're down at the 12 or the 14. You still have to execute a play. If they would have given that call to the Patriots, you know what the talk would have been this morning? New England gets all the breaks. Everybody loves Tom Brady. They get every call. Nobody else gets that pass interference call on a mini Hail Mary. Now, that's the only problem. Instead of a 40-yard pass, it was a 20-yard pass. Come on. Come on. I wanted New England to win, too. I think Carolina's overrated, even though they're playing some good football. I don't think they do anything in the postseason. But, come on. Really? We got to spend 6 hours this morning hearing about this? Come on. Come on. Jerry Austin, one of the best referees the NFL's ever seen, said last night on Monday Night Football, it's the right call. I'll go with that. Also, want you to join us if you've got emails, you've got texts, you've got tweets. We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us. Nah, don't text us. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. We have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. And anything you want to comment on, the phone number you always need on the Bruce Furniture fan line is 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. You can always Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. And, of course, the Dent Popper inbox always open for you. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. I want to get to our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Should pass interference calls be subject to replay? Yes, get the call right. No, it's too much of a judgment call. I think in this instance, usually what the referee has his first inkling on is best. And not necessarily right, but then you go look under the hood and you've got the referee, not the guy that made the pass interference call, looking at it. So the guy that made the call is not the guy that's going to go look under the hood. You tell us. Your Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Should pass interference calls be subject to replay? You can vote now on ESPNSuperstation.com. It's up for 24 hours. We'll have a new poll question tomorrow, ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question yesterday, Bo Pelini has led Nebraska to at least 9 wins, but also 4 losses every season as a head coach. How will this year's team end up? Of course, they're 7-3 with 3 games to go. 54% of you said Nebraska will go 2-1 down the stretch. That's 9-4. 23% said they'll be 8-5, and I'm hoping that means Penn State in a bowl game. And then 15% said they'll run the table. 8% said they'll lose everything else. Nice. There you go. What does Doug say? I want to believe they're going to go to Penn State and win. I think they win the last 2, so they get to 9 wins again. I think Nebraska gets to 9 wins again. There's too much class, too much effort, too much want to for this team to fold in a bowl game. Tom Chattel went over in an article today, and vote on our Midtown Mark Cooley question. Tom Chattel went over our options. He's a Missouri alum. He'd love to see the Missouri-Nebraska game. Oklahoma. You know what? I'm past that Oklahoma thing. Then there's A&M's a possibility. Texas is a possibility. South Carolina was a possibility, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think those are about 5 of them. You know, none of them. I want to play somebody new. Give me somebody different. Give me somebody I ain't seen in a long, long time. Give me somebody I have not seen in a long, long time. Give me somebody off the radar. I'm tired of playing these conference affiliation bowl games. Nebraska, Missouri, Outback. Nebraska, Oklahoma, and the Buffalo Wild Wings. Also, there's a chance that you can see Nebraska, Texas, South Carolina, A&M, LSU in the Outback Bowl. I don't know that I want to play LSU, but I'll tell you what, of all the ones that Tom Chattel put in his article, that's the one to me that I would like to see. Nebraska, LSU, not because Bo had ties there, just because it's somebody different. Just because it's somebody different. Your thoughts. Well, let's go with the tweets here. Brandon says, hey, Doug, great call on the back shoulder pitch leading to a fumble, especially since Abdullah wasn't on the receiving end. Yeah, that was one of the keys I said on Friday. We talked about the kicking game a little bit, and I said, you watch. As many times as Tommy Armstrong has been pitching the ball behind the running backs, especially on that option play, Nebraska's going to leave the ball on the turf. We can go to the tape. We can go to the audio. I said, Nebraska's going to leave it on turf. It just depends who covers the ball. Well, Michigan State covered the football, so that's how things go there. The Tri-City Storm will name a new coach, Josh Howgie, who I think is a great man and has always been a friend of our program and love talking to him. It's part of the business. Kirk Brooks will be naming a new coach today, 4-9-2. And you lose 6-0 on Saturday. I mean, part of it's the way you're losing. When they're winning, they're not scoring a lot. It's not exciting, but where is the Storm going? And we will get into the future of that as we find out who the new coach is. Again, I think everyone knows I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I respect what the Storm does, and I love the organization, and I want them to do well, and the people that work there, they're Kearneyites, and you want the kids to succeed, and the coaches have always been good with us, and you want to see good things for the Storm. Because, let's face it, if the Storm fold, what are you going to put in that building? You got to have somebody. I mean, to have all the other things that go on there, you got to have a year-long tenant, and the Storm are just that. You've got to have the Storm. But you've also got to win. And you know what, folks? The Storm has never really been a winning franchise. Let's see what can happen. And I don't know. I don't think it's all coaching either, folks. I don't think it's all coaching. So we'll see. We'll see. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's take a break. We'll be back and jump into them right after this.
Are you serious about maximizing muscle growth, boosting strength, and optimizing hormones so you can get noticed in the gym? Well, you asked, and Complete Nutrition listen. Introducing the new L3 Anabolic Stack. L3 is the best new muscle-building supplement stack on the planet. If you want to jack up testosterone levels 42% in as little as 12 days, all while packing on tons of muscle and raising growth hormone levels so you can be the man you never thought you'd be, stop by a Complete Nutrition store today and find out how the new L3 series is changing the muscle building game for men.
Complete Nutrition.
Warning, if you put on more than 15 pounds of muscle in the first 4 weeks, please visit your personal health consultant to adjust your dosage.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's the Herd. Getting your team together in the same room can be impossible, especially this time of the year. You got holidays coming up. They can't get to the office because of the weather. People tend to get sick more as the weather gets cold. That doesn't mean business stops. You still need to be able to meet, right? So use GoToMeeting by Citrix. It's the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online, no matter if somebody's sick or somebody's away for the holidays. With GoToMeeting, you share screens to work together on documents or spreadsheets and projects in real time. Just turn on your webcams and turn your meeting into a group HD video conference. It's like meeting in person. Start hosting a GoToMeeting in seconds from your computer or your mobile device by signing up for free for a 30-day trial. There's no credit card required to get started. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code.
Hi, this is Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
Let's start with some tough love, all right? Ready for this? Here goes.
OPC
see out this week at Cunningham's Journal on Wednesday for our Husker Lunch at noon.
Preceded by a live Doug and Daddy show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation and brought to you by Home Federal Bank and Gary Michaels Clothing.
Sunny skies and breezy south winds in our forecast for today. We'll reach a warm high of 62 degrees, and we'll have partly cloudy skies tonight with breezy conditions and a low of 38. I'm meteorologist Sam Deniste. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Another story, disturbing story that has come down this morning for the Tri-City Storm USHL hockey family. Fargo police are investigating the death of former Lincoln Stars coach Chad Johnson. His body was found along railroad tracks in an industrial area of Fargo. He resigned as the Stars coach in September, citing personal and health reasons. Johnson was Lincoln's head coach for three seasons with a regular season record, 110-62. His team made the playoffs all 3 years. He took a brief medical leave of absence at the beginning of his first season when he resigned earlier this year. Stars officials said Johnson had indicated he'd like to return to Fargo so he could be closer to his family and address some health issues. His brother, Chad, is currently the coach of the Lincoln Stars. So bad news coming on the front there for those that were involved in the hockey community and for his family. Well, the football season is over at Hastings College and at UNK, and hopefully before they get crazy in recruiting and putting things together for next year, the coaches can relax for just a moment. And when they do, they can do it in the comfort of the Bruce Furniture family in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Bruce Furniture's got the best living room, Serta mattresses. They've got Chromecraft, Southern Motion, Tempur-Pedic. They've got the Lane, Lazy Boy recliners, best chairs, all the best brand names from Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering. They're just right for you with easy credit terms, free professional delivery, free setup, and free haul away. They put it all right there for you. They take care of you while you're in the store, while you're making the purchase, and they get it to where you want it. And the best part, they haul away the old stuff as well and take care of it. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. And we welcome in the head football coach at UNK, Daryl Morris. Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Do you get to relax, or do you just go right into it? Is it still 24/7?
Nope. Started a meeting with the staff this morning at 6, still doing it. Just stopped to visit with you a little bit. So there is no downtime. We go right into the recruiting process. We got to wrap up the season with our present team. We have to have player meetings with each individual. We got to let each kid on our team understand where he sits in the grand scheme of things moving into next year. We got to get him organized for next semester when we hit the weight room, and we got him in the weight room this morning at 6 o'clock as well. So you just transfer to a different phase of the season, which is still as competitive as any other phase of it.
Can you share with us what goes on in the postseason coaches' meetings?
Well, basically what we're doing today is we're going through the squad player by player, and we're going to have individual meetings with each player with their position coach here starting on Thursday. And what we do is we sit down with each player, but prior to that we're talking about him today and trying to get an assessment of where we think this young man fits into our plans moving forward as we go into year three of the MIAA.
We mentioned, we'll get into the all MIAA, and I guess just a wrap on Fort Hays State. You talked about being banged up. It looked like you hung with them for a half, and then that was pretty much it.
We hung with them for about a quarter and a half, and then, started to, we were down by 11 at the half, and then it got worse than that as we went through the third and fourth quarter. And, again, we're still, our football program is in the early stages of construction project. We're trying to build an MIAA football program here. We're a little ways away from having the depth that's required to go through the physical league of the MIAA and play week in and week out. If you look at our schedule next year, it will be even more challenging than our schedule this year because we're losing the win that we had against Lincoln University. We're losing the win that we had against Southwest Baptist because both those teams are leaving. So subsequently, we picked up Missouri Southern, who beat Pittsburgh State in the last ball game of the year. We pick up Pittsburgh State, who was ranked number 6 until the last weekend of the year. We pick up, Central Oklahoma, which is a school much like us, still trying to get their program up and running. So our schedule next year will be even more difficult than it was this year.
We're talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daryl, I still think it'll be a couple, three seasons before we quit making comparisons, but just the fans and even myself probably want to know, a healthy 2013 football team, because you're talking about continually building in the MIAA. This year's football team, if healthy, where do you feel it would have been in the RMAC?
Oh, we'd have been in the upper part of the RMAC, no question about that. I mean, we'd have been extremely competitive in that league still today. I mean, we've got some good football players here. It's just in the RMAC, when you lost a starter due to an injury, the kid that came in to replace him, was still good enough to help you win games, and they couldn't exploit that particular individual the way they can in the MIAA. So it would have been a decent football team, and I think everybody's still going to be chasing Pueblo in that league right now, but would have been an upper-crust team for sure.
Are you in recruiting? Are you starting to see that transformation? Are you still looking at Colorado, and are you getting better looks at different parts of the country?
Well, we've got one commitment, a linebacker, and he's out of Long Island, New York. So, I mean, we're looking all over the planet. We're still in Colorado, we're in Kansas, we're in Florida, we're in Texas, we're in California, we're in Alaska, we're every place we can be, and we're trying to find the best players, but they have to be MIAA caliber type guys. And as we went through our team this morning, we have about a dozen to 14 young men who we feel like are first-round all MIAA type players, and most of them are quite young. So the recruiting process is slow. You got to get them into your program. You've got to develop them. They've got to grow up. They've got to learn. And it takes a little while, so it's a slow process.
Daryl Morris with us for a couple of minutes here. We'll get him back to the meetings, because I know that Kenny and Evo and Croc and Siegel are probably back there just having some ice cream, getting ready for lunch.
That's all they do anyway.
We don't want them rocking the boat too much. Coach, I don't know if you want to compare this year to last year, but where was the second-year development for the MIAA Lopers?
The positive of the comparison is what we have in the wings. The kids that we redshirted this year are talented enough, we feel like, for the most part, to play in the MIAA. Now, a lot of them are going to play next year as redshirt freshmen. That means they're going to be young still. They're going to make mistakes still. And the schedule is going to be extremely challenging again. So, we're just going to have to ask our fans to be patient with the process. It's going to take us a while to get up to speed. It's not going to happen overnight. We just got beat pretty handily by Fort Hays State, who the day they went into the MIAA went to 36 full-ride scholarships, and I believe this was their first winning season in 6 or 7 years of competition in the MIAA. This is an extremely challenging process that we're going through here, trying to get up to speed with the people in this league.
How much more taxing is it on you and your coaches?
It's taxing. I'll be honest with you. We've lost 16 games in 2 years. We didn't lose 16 games my first 9 years as the head football coach. So this is different for us. And I know all the reasons why we're not successful as we have been in the past. And I know that better than anybody, but it's still quite frustrating. It wears you out. It keeps you up at night. You're constantly questioning what you're doing, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. And, it's a taxing thing. If you have passion for what you do, and I do have passion for Loper football, I've been here for 30 years. I've spent the majority of my adult life here. I've got a lot of time invested in this program, and it's difficult for me to see it struggle the way it is right now. So I spend all my waking hours trying to figure out how to get her going.
Well, let's finish this up on a positive note here. There's a couple things we want to talk about with the all MIAA coming out. If I scan the first team offense and defense correctly here, there's only two kids that are off non-probably nationally ranked teams that made it, and one of those is Cole Manhart.
Cole Manhart, I'm thrilled to death for Cole Manhart because, you know, Cole is a first-team all-conference, our first-team all-conference MIAA player. But he was also, I know, the only unanimous selection first-team all-conference on the offensive side of the ball, and minus maybe a kicker that it came down to did not have really a competitor against him, the only unanimous choice on either side of the ball of the MIAA. So a great tribute to his hard work and his, you know, Cole is a great young man. He has a great heart. He's a good football player. The NFL guys are going to be crawling all over him next year. But, what a great deal for Cole.
Also, in the game over the weekend, we talked about the chance for the single-season tackle record in the Division II era to go down. Both Tyke Kojal and Kellen Werner earned that, got past that number, and both received some accolades from the conference.
They did. Tyke is an honorable mention all MIAA player as a true as a redshirt freshman, so that's quite a bonus for him. Not a lot of those guys get that award in the MIAA. And then, Kellen Werner broke the all-time Division II career record for tackles and made third-team all-conference. There were two positions that had a nomination from every team in the league. Linebacker was one of them, and wide receiver was the other. So to even get in the hunt this year at the linebacker position was quite a feat for Kellen because there were probably as many as 30 guys nominated for all-conference linebacker. So, again, hats off to Kellen for all his hard work.
Coach, I guess we've talked with you every week, and we always appreciate you giving us some time because it's just another thing you don't have to do, but you do. Just a final comment. I'm not going to ask a question. Do you have a final end-of-the-year kind of a comment here for the fans?
Well, again, for the Loper fans and the ones that come to our games and, come to Loper luncheons and help us out, just patience is going to be – I'm going to have patience. They're going to have patience. It's a process. We are moving in the right direction, but it is a slow process, and you have to recruit kids, and then it takes a couple years to get them on the field and be competitive with them. So we're just not there yet, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
Coach, I'll let you get back to the meetings and hope to see you somewhere soon.
Appreciate it, Doug.
Thank you. That's the head football coach. He's always great with his time, Daryl Morris. And again, I know the – it's always tricky to talk about the record out there. I, sitting here, am not worried about it. All right? I mean, don't tell me that somebody else can come in and do something different than what these guys are doing. I think, like you said, Fort Hays State, my goodness, remember when Fort Hays State used to beat UNK in the RMAC and UNK was a good football team? 8, 9, 10 wins? Come on. It's going to take a little time. We knew this coming in. Another thing I preached about on this show 5 years ago when they first started talking about going to the MIAA, 20, 25 years down the road, maybe UNK will be a power. Maybe they will be there. Maybe they will be that Northwest Missouri State. And they're still very competitive in a lot of sports. So chill on the football. That's a whole different animal. At Hastings College, well, Tony Harper, he's with us. They've also got the All-GPAC Awards out. Coach, usually I like to volunteer and help out with my skills, but I'm not sure I can long snap and kick the ball anymore, brother.
Well, if you're not feeling comfortable with it, I don't think I'll be calling you anytime soon then.
Well, I'm listening to Mikey and Jimmy as I'm on the road Saturday heading over to the state finals, and I think they were as befuddled as probably you were.
Yeah, and that's really, this season has definitely been an up and down roller coaster season for us. But the one thing consistently that we had going for us was our special teams unit. And, we talked about it all week that how Nebraska Wesleyan, they just do a bunch of great things on special teams. Nothing exotic, just sound, simple football. And, we made a couple of mistakes and they jumped on us quick and we could just never rebound from that.
After that first quarter, take me through the last three quarters. I get the stat sheet. I didn't get to listen to it, but at least you put some points on the board and maybe played it competitive. But as we all know, if you're on the front end of a four-touchdown lead, it's a whole different story.
It really is. I mean, for us to come back in a situation like that, a hole that we put ourselves in, it was tough for our guys. You know, once they settled down, they started playing some good football. I think if you look at the, and I'm not a big stats guy, you know, you win or lose, that's kind of how I look at it. But if you look at our offense first, they were able to move up and down the field to get a lot of yards. I think we even actually outgained them offensively. I think that's a credit to our offensive staff and our offensive players that there was no woe is me, let's just cash it in. You know, we were still moving the ball up and down. We made some bad decisions with it, and that just kind of hurt us even more. But we were able to continue to move that ball a little bit. Defensively, you know, we got some checks in late. We didn't get aligned correctly. But once, you know, we got the guys on the sidelines, like Coach Long got them calmed down, they started playing a little bit more consistent from that standpoint. But the bottom line is we can't put ourselves in that type of hole against that type of football team, you know, coached by one of the better coaches in the conference. You know, that's the reality of the deal. The guys continued to fight through that, but we can't wait to be the guy that's assertive, that steps out of the comfort zone. We got to be the first guy that does that. We got to take it to the opponent. And, you know, that was our message throughout those last three quarters. And at halftime, we told the guys, hey, you got 30 minutes. That's all that the 2013 season has left in it. So let's play two good quarters. And they came out and they competed a lot better in the second half. And, you know, looking at those seniors after the game, I really didn't have much to say except, guys, this is your time. Spend it with your players. Talk. And go from there.
Austin Curley had a decent game for you.
He really did. And you know, I think when the offensive coaches, Joe Holzclaw and Rich Mason and Dave Cabrera, decided to move him from the backside over to the place, the front side of a lot of our route combinations and things like that, that's where Austin is a little bit more comfortable. He's a little bit of a bigger receiver. He's not going to blow the roof off or anything like that. You know, he doesn't run a 4.5 or a 4.4 or anything like that, but he's going to catch the ball. He's going to get a first down. And then maybe a couple extra yards after that, and Matt and him were really on the same page. You know, and the positive thing is Matt's just a junior and Austin's just a sophomore. So, you know, getting those guys here this whole offseason is going to be huge for us.
Tony, let's talk about that. You talked, it was 17, 18 kids, I believe, the seniors that you're losing. What can we expect next year? How much in your mind right now as you go through your postseason coaches' meetings and players' meetings, how many returning starters can we expect next year?
Well, I think, you know, we looked out there on that field in the second half against Nebraska Wesleyan. We had two seniors starting for us on defense. We had two seniors starting for us on offense. And, you know, so you're looking at 9 of 11 on both sides of the ball, and people were going to say, well, look at the record. Maybe they're not the right ones. Well, I'll tell you, they are the right ones because a lot of those guys are just freshmen and sophomores and juniors. We are really a young team. We got a lot of guys that have that experience, and we had our team meeting yesterday. We had our staff meeting yesterday. We're individually meeting with every single player on this team right now. And to a man, right, you know, I can see it in their eyes that they're going to get refocused. You know, we learned a lot about ourselves this year, about how to fight through adversity, about how to, you know, every coach loves to say next man up and everything like that. Well, we definitely went through that this year, and I think the young guys see that, hey, I never know when it's going to be my time, so I got to prepare harder mentally more than anything, and that's going to be huge for us. And we got a lot of high expectations to get this thing back where it's supposed to be.
Tony Harper, Hastings college football coach, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tony, I suppose at the beginning of the year, everybody can kind of say, well, this is probably our high end and this is probably our low end. You guys are picked right towards the middle of the conference. I would expect that this would have been the low end. Did you see what happened, I guess, as far as this year, as to why things didn't click for you outside of some youth out there?
Well, you know, I think coming into this season, we knew it would be a tough one because when you lose some of the performers and players, not only on the field, but in the locker room and in the dorm rooms and things like that, we knew that we were going to have to grow up extremely quickly. And we knew that there was a chance that we were going to be in a fight in every single game. And, you know, in no stretch of the imagination did I expect this overall record to happen, as nobody did on that's associated with the program, and it's not acceptable. We will get this thing turned around. But we also have to realize things happen that we have to be prepared to handle at a moment's notice, and that falls directly squarely on my shoulders. I learned a lot from this season as well. I learned the message has to be the same. We have to be consistent in what we're talking about. We have to hold each other accountable. And at times, I may have dropped the ball on that this year, and it's not fair for the guys or the coaches, and we're going to get it fixed. And, you know, we got a lot of stuff that we could do here. We're looking forward to it.
Of the three all-conference kids that were named this morning, they're all underclassmen, and Tanner Paxton's a first-teamer.
Tanner, he's a junior. He was a first-team guy last year. I didn't really have to say too much at the conference meeting. All I asked the guys was, hey, if you had an opportunity for Tanner to be on your team, would he start? That's all I said. And he got a lot of the good votes, and Tanner's a special football player, and we're going to expect a lot more with him. Funny thing is, to be ironic, I just got done with my individual meeting with Tanner, and he's saying all the right things. I know Tanner's going to do all the right things as well as being a leader. So we're excited to have him. And then you look, you got Eric Wiley, who was third in the conference in total tackles. I mean, this is for a first-year starter, and he's going to be a special football player. Alex Gildon repeated again on second team as a corner. I mean, they threw the ball at him about nine times at all this year, and that's kind of the, you know, the reputation that Alex has. So we got a lot of young guys that got a lot of opportunities, that got some recognition, but what we have to realize is, It's not about individual recognition. It's about the team, and these guys to a man understand that, and we're looking forward to a lot of hard work this off season.
All right, Tony, I'll kind of wrap it up just like we did with Coach Morris. Just your final overall statement as you put the wrap on the 2013 season.
Well, it was we've already talked a little bit about it. It was a roller coaster, and I remember the Friday night before our first game this year of the 2013 season. I go, fellas, I don't know what this season's going to have in store for us. Nobody does. Nobody can predict the future. It's going to be a wild ride, and I want to see everybody that's in this room finish this season the best that they possibly can. And I think they did, and they learned how to fight. We learned how to grow and mature as a team and as a coaching staff. And, again, we're not satisfied. This is not acceptable. But on the flip side of it, we got to use this as fuel for this offseason. And with the numbers of potential starters we got coming back, with the interest that we're getting from recruits, we're going to use this as a stepping stone. I don't want people to think that this is acceptable because it's not. But we left a legacy. We left a foundation of how we're going to approach each game, each practice, each day. And, we're going to learn from it. And I'm proud of how the kids fought. I'm proud of these coaches. We're already out on the road recruiting. And, good things are going to happen here. We're going to stay the course. We're going to learn to be more consistent. We're going to learn to be more accountable. And we're going to compete a lot harder.
All right, Coach, as we told Coach Morris, same to you. Thanks for fitting us into your Tuesday every single week, and hope to see you somewhere soon.
I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to us, and especially listening to me mumbo and jumbo some of the time. I appreciate y'all's support, too.
Hey, remember, Tony, there's only a couple of nice days left, so make sure you guys run around with your shirts off today.
I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon.
Tony, always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, y'all take care now.
You bet. Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. We really thank Coach Morris and Coach Harper. Not the season's wins and losses they wanted. I mean, heck, this was a lot more fun a couple seasons ago when we were kicking everybody's butt. It was a lot more fun. Well, this is the way it works. Hey, Alabama, before they went on a run, they stunk too. It happens. I mean, there's nobody's won 10 games every time they've strapped it up. So we'll see this young group come along from Hastings College, and I think the next 2 years are going to be kind of fun. And for UNK, they're only going to get better. It may take a little bit longer to get to that 10-win season again, but they're going to get better. We'll take a break. We've got all three state championship volleyball coaches, Alan Van Cura, St. Cecilia, Kurt Polt, Giltner, and Chris Connor, Kearney Catholic, when we come back.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. Guys, Thanksgiving's coming, which means a huge feast. Quality time with the family. Best of all, football all day long. This Thanksgiving, add something special to the celebration. Send a seasonal harvest rose bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. whether you're going to be there in person or you can't make it this year. Show your appreciation with fresh fall blooms are beautiful from Your Rose Authority. We've got one right now. Talk about liven up the kitchen table. For this week only, 1-800-Flowers.com has an incredible offer. Order 12 harvest roses, beautiful, and receive 6 more plus a vase, only $29.99. Vase is free. 6 more is free. That's 18 red, yellow, and orange roses, perfect for the Thanksgiving season for just $29.99. That's 25% off the regular price. Limited time, though. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or download the mobile app. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies and breezy south winds in our forecast for today. We'll reach a warm high of 62 degrees, and we'll have partly cloudy skies tonight with breezy conditions and a low of 38. I'm meteorologist Sam Denisty. Right now, it's 52.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Don't forget Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up before the end of our program today, and more state high school football playoff action. We will be in at Battle Creek for Donovan Trumbull Battle Creek. Pregame at 5, kickoff at 5:30. You can hear it all on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. And every one of the 6 state football championships come your way next Monday and Tuesday here on ESPN Radio. Well, it was a great weekend, and we've got some emails to get to on the Huskers. We've got some other information because it's just a great show today, and let's talk to some champions. Alan Van Cura has been doing this for 39 years and brought home another state volleyball championship for Hastings St. Cecilia. Coach, it was a long way from that 740-degree opening night there at Hawkett Gymnasium.
Yeah, yes, it was. You know, the only thing is the difference in this is that we started a state tournament with a flat volleyball. So I think in 39 years, that's the first time that's ever happened. So, you know, you've been around it long enough, you'll run into something new.
Well, that is the one thing, or one of the things, when you win a state championship, it can be memorable in so many ways, either an epic final or something funny or crazy like that, or you can set a record. Well, you guys had a little bit of something every single day. You had that in a 5-setter on opening day, then and a record performance there on opening day from Morgan Nicola. Then you take care of business on Friday, and then, you know, hey, you're a serve away from a 5th set in the state final again on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we knew going in that we had really, even though we were second seed, we had a tough draw. You know, we had to start off with Lutheran High Northeast, who had been in the state finals 3 years in a row, and had like 7 kids back that had played in the state championship game last year. So we knew that was a very tough draw for our kids. But, you know, I thought they responded very well. And, you know, we had a chance to, you know, maybe win that first game, and it slipped away. So we had to go 5. But then in the 5th game, you know, we kind of took over and won that one 15-7. So I think that was huge for us. And, you know, but having to play 5, we wondered then how much they had left, you know, the next morning to come back and play Palmyra. But, you know, they were very... you know, just took care of business. We won that in 3, and, you know, so we didn't have to expend as much energy, you know, as we, you know, could have. And then we were ready for Freeman in the next morning. And, you know, again, it was one that we had a chance to win that first game. It slipped away. We missed a serve near the end, which would have put us on game point. And, you know, but fortunately, the kids found a way to bounce back. You know, they didn't let it bother them that they lost that first game, just like it happened Thursday. And, you know, Tuesday, or the second and third games, our defense kind of took over. And then, you know, in that fourth game, I think it was just a matter of they were not going to be denied. You know, they just kept hanging in there and found a way to get that match point.
Alan Van Cura, the head coach of the state champion Hastings St. Cecilia Hawkettes. Coach, we've been in this business long enough. I've always said to be successful and to win a state championship, you got to have a stud. But it's that third, fourth, depending on what sport it is, fifth person that has to step up. You'll see a lot of teams at state that have that one great player, but they're playing in the consolation or they don't get out of the first round, and your team was as balanced all the way around as you could possibly be.
Well, that's true. You know, I know when people start talking about our team, you know, they'll bring up Morgan Nicola and they'll bring up Claire Hamburger right away, and those two had a tremendous state tournament for us. They do such a great job. But, you know, we had some other kids that just really stepped up. Chandra Farmer as a libero, you know, I think really frustrated Freeman on Saturday. She was just all over the court digging balls, and she's done that all year for us. Lil Sheehy, just a sophomore, first year of starting varsity for us. You know, when Morgan goes to the back row, we rely on her a lot to take over, and she did a nice job. Josie Prevett, just, you know, she's probably one of our more flashier players with what she does, but she's just so steady at the net and, you know, one of our, you know, three returning starters. Carly Wright, you know, our right side hitter, you know, doesn't maybe get as many attacks as some of the other kids, but she does so much that just goes unnoticed. Claire digs a lot of ball, and she takes that second ball and sets such a nice ball to our hitter. So, her, you know, she does kind of the dirty part of the thing, but gets, you know, very little credit for doing that. And then, you know, we have some back row people that come in. Paige Kossler, you know, she comes in for Carly and serves, and, you know, she leads the team in ace serves, and she had a nice, you know, nice game of serving in the finals. Tammy Wynn, another DS, comes in the back row and plays for us. You know, so, you know, and Lucy Skoke, a freshman, you know, came in the middle of the season, started playing for us, and, you know, she had like eight kills in the state finals. So, I mean, that's a lot for a freshman.
Another minute here with Alan Van Cura. I thought of this as I watched the end of the match that I was doing between Kearney Catholic and Ogallala, and you watch a coach like Coach Morgan, 41 state tournaments he has been to, whether they've qualified or just been to, but 41 years. As he walks off the court, it had been 13 years since he'd been to a state final, and I got to think that eventually you go, will I ever get back? Did you think you'd ever get back?
Well, you know, after the last couple of years, you know, we were so close and we just, you know, couldn't get past that semifinal round. And, you know, it starts to, you know, play in your mind at whether you can get there. But, you know, we had a group of kids that once we got into sub-districts, they were just so focused. You know, we set up a routine and we changed our practice plan a little bit. But, you know, a group that was so focused and did such a tremendous job of preparing themselves mentally before a match, and then even during a match, you know, supporting each other, you know, never losing that confidence factor. So, you know, this was just a very unique team.
You did a good job of deflecting the attention away from yourself. You know that, right?
Well, I tried a little bit.
You know, there are a lot of coaches that have been around for a long, long time. I know everybody wants to ask you, are you going to keep after it, and what's next year bring?
Well, you know, like I told the reporters, you know, I'm just playing it one year at a time. And we're going to celebrate this one for a while here. And, you know, we'll come back and think things over and see how, you know, how we approach things for next year. You know, we'll have a nice nucleus of kids back. You know, obviously we're going to lose some nice seniors. But, you know, the kids will commit themselves to trying to make that return trip. So, you know, we're just going to play it, you know, year at a time, and we'll see what happens.
Alan, congratulations on a well-deserved state championship. It's always a pleasure to chat with you and make sure that you guys continue to enjoy this for a while.
Well, thank you very much, Doug. Enjoyed being on.
Thank you, sir. Alan Van Cura,
You know, sometimes it's okay to be called a legacy and a Hall of Famer and things like that. And Coach Van Kira is definitely one of those. Congratulations to St. Cecilia on their outstanding season. Coming up, we're going to talk with the Giltner head volleyball coach Kurt Polt, and then Kearney Catholic coach Chris Connor. They were the ones that went five sets. Giltner had to muscle it around earlier in the tournament. They had to go five sets in the semifinal, but their championship might have been their easiest match, ironically. And then we'll talk with those coaches here in just a second. I do want to remind you that at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, they have a great deals going on now through the end of the year that not only gives you the rebates, it gives you the low interest rates. You don't have to pick and choose like so many dealerships try to throw at you. You get it all. It's what they do at the Midway Auto Dealerships. It's a better way. When you go to thinkmidway.com, you can see their complete inventory. It's the all-new Think Midway. They're giving away storm tickets. They're giving away a variety of other things that, you know, you're not going to buy a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle every day, but they want to keep you involved. They want to make sure that you know what's going on with the great deals at Midway. But if you do need a brand new vehicle, how about low monthly payments at 1.99% for 72 months? And if it's a pre-owned, 2.99%. Where are you going to get better than that? Stop by and see the friendly sales staff at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, I'll have to be the first one that steps up and says, wow, Giltner coach Kurt Polt, they won it again as they take the D2 state championship. Coach, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Doug.
Great to catch up with you. I guess I'm going to have to avoid doing the Giltner matches because the district final that I saw didn't look like anybody that was going to be winning a state championship.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Everybody wants to win, but sometimes a loss, if you handle it correctly, can turn into a positive. And I think not only did that loss to Bertrand refocus our players, I think it refocused myself as a coach as well. So, you know, I think contribute to the girls. I think they turned that loss into a positive and they got better because of it.
What did you do in the interim? You don't have a whole lot of practice time there. What did you do and what was practice like?
You know, practice even starting on that Friday. We lost on a Thursday night, and practice on Friday was really sharp. The girls came out with their heads up, and we had a real positive and a real fast-paced practice. And that continued on into the next week, and I think it really rolled right into the state tournament.
You take a look at the way the state tournament moved along. You got a nice match to start off with and took care of a good Layton team that had 30 wins. But then you got absolutely everything you wanted from Sterling. You knew that you had talked to me, Sterling Mead, that could be interesting at the state tournament. That was your biggest test in Grand Island.
Yeah, without a doubt. That Lemke girl for Sterling really stepped up in their match. I had watched a few videos on her and talked to several coaches about her, and the scouting reports that I had, she simply outplayed everything that I had heard about her. She really played well and just about single-handedly dealt us a defeat that day. And I think we felt quite a bit of stress in that game as well, and I think we were kind of a favorite to play on Saturday, and I think our girls were playing a little tight, but again, to our girls' credit, they stepped up in set five and played some of their best ball of the day.
Coach Kurt Polt of Giltner joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, it's been a pretty good run for all those kids here for the last number of years, football, volleyball especially. How do they play off each other?
They support each other very well. There's not a lot of animosity in our school, and I think that's really important in a small school. You've seen our boys took a very tough loss to Wynot a week ago, 52-50, in a game that we thought we were going to win. But you've seen the boys turn around and really show up in great numbers at the state tournament and cheer the girls on. So, and you'll see the girls do the same for the boys. And so we're pretty proud of that factor. That we don't have that animosity. They really support each other.
Danny Most obviously led your volleyball team, and we were just talking with Coach Van Kira. At the D2 level, you're just not going to be as deep, so it is very important to have somebody of her caliber step up, and she had a good tournament for you.
Well, she sure did, and Danny's had a great 4 years for us, to be honest, but she really stepped up her senior year, like you said, to end up with 470-some kills. Is quite an amazing stat, and usually when you see that, she's the only one getting the ball. But in our case, we have Darby Hendricks with over 300 kills, and Gussie Rhodes and Kelby Lyon both have over 150. So the fact of the matter is Danny was taking advantage of the balls that she got, and there were several matches where she was just about unstoppable.
That must mean you have the greatest setter of all time.
Well, I would sure like to say that, but that's a complete story in itself to where, you know, we weren't sure where we were going with our setter after graduating Shane Vaught last year. And I thought Jacqueline had very good court sense, good volleyball sense, and I talked to her about trying out as a setter. And as you know, the story goes, she didn't set in junior high. She didn't set in club. She hadn't ever set a game. And here we are, the spring of her sophomore year, and we start training from ground zero, kind of like I would start with the junior high setter. And the fact that she ended up with over 1,000 assists, which I believe is going to end up being a single season record in Class D2 this year, more than I ever could have expected out of her.
Kurt Pohl with us for just a last second here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kurt, I will ask you this. Were the girls a little disappointed that they didn't get a rematch with Bertrand?
I think so. I think any competitor always wants to prove themselves after a defeat, and I think they were looking forward to a rematch with Bertrand. We talk all the time in our volleyball program about we focus on things that we can control, and who we played on Saturday was out of our control, so we focused on Stewart once we found out Bertrand had lost.
Well, Kurt, we'll let you get back to your day. Congratulations on an outstanding season and capturing a state championship. Those never get old.
No, I don't have a whole lot of experience. It's only my second time, but this one seems as fun as the first one. And you've always been very supportive of us. We greatly appreciate the support you give us, and I thank you for your time.
Hey, you bet, Kurt. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right.
You Giltner, bet. State Bye. Champions in Class D2. By the way, and now that it pops into my head as we're talking to him, Coach Cook yesterday made a comment on his weekly press conference about the state volleyball tournament. The comment was, did you get a chance to watch any of the volleyball? And it kind of led into it coming back to Lincoln. He used to be able to pop in if they were at home that weekend and see some of the state championship. And if they're away, he'd see Thursday and Friday. But he had a couple of nice comments and then just kind of his thoughts on the question was, did you get to watch any of the state volleyball tournament?
The one match I watched was the Hastings St. Cecilia. I'm like, whoa, they were really good. I didn't get to see the Class A because conflicts, but I saw that. I watched a little bit of the D2, and I'm always impressed with the job that the high school teams do here and the level of play, and even like the D2 school. I mean, some of the things they're doing compared to 10 years ago, they're playing really good volleyball. I'm glad it's coming back to Lincoln because it's difficult to watch when you see a lot of empty seats. And, you know, I'm used to, you know, my best memories of the high school is watching Pius play in the Coliseum, and it's a whiteout in there, and the place is packed. And, you know, that's hopefully we'll get that back when it comes back to Lincoln, that they'll have some more attendance and be a little bit bigger show. But I think they do a great job.
So that's Coach John Cook with some kudos there for a couple of the teams from the area that he watched and talking about the state tournament. Moving back to Lincoln, I think one team that really liked it in Grand Island because the state finals were in Grand Island for 4 years, and in 4 years in C1, Kearney Catholic was in every single one of them, and Coach Chris Connor joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as the third coach that wins a state championship back-to-back for Kearney Catholic. Coach, have you petitioned to keep this in Grand Island?
We kind of like to see it stay in GI. We've had great crowds there and just had a tremendous amount of support, and, you know, kind of makes my schedule or life a little easier. I don't have to, you know, do all the sleepovers, and so it's kind of been nice to be able to travel back and forth.
What's it like when a college coach, even if it is Coach Cook or Coach Buttermore, who I saw popping around, of course you're going to see Coach Squires every time, but when a coach is popping in just to watch your team?
You know, I think the kids, you know, right away are excited, but I think that, you know, they've kind of gotten used maybe to haven't seen a lot of those coaches, and so I think that they settle down pretty fast. I think that they've played in enough, whether it's club or off-season games, that, you know, they think it's great, but they know they're there for a job.
The other two coaches and programs that we just talked about in St. Cecilia and Kiltner, they went through a state tournament and they played a lot of new faces, people that there's no rivalry with. That was not the case for you guys.
Certainly not. I mean, Minden's a great team, and, you know, we were watching the SCOTUS Minden match, and Minden played a great game, definitely outplayed them, and after it was all, we're like, oh, did we really want that to happen? Because, you know, it's tough playing a team that many times and, you know, being able to elevate, because you know the team that lost is going to elevate their game, and you just hope your kids elevate enough to still get the win.
Chris Connor of Kearney Catholic with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up. But, Coach, after graduating, all those kids who had worked so hard to win the school's first state volleyball championship last year, I don't think there was a whole lot of people in the state that thought that you guys could repeat. State tournament team, probably. Repeat, probably not. What was it like in the off season when you guys were getting ready for this year?
Yeah, definitely. I think there were probably about a handful of people, I'll say under 10, maybe, that thought we could repeat, I think, and that was our coaches. And, you know, Shayla, Morgan, Whitney, Allie, you know, all of our defensive players that were coming back. I mean, we knew that, you know, the one reason though we had great hitters is because we had some pretty good defense last year, and they had to, you know, vary their shots. So, you know, they believed, our kids believed, and that was the main thing.
You only had the three seniors on this year. You know, Shayla obviously ends up being a four-year starter at setter, and Elena Bach, a role player for you. And then you got the brace, Mackenzie Smith, that comes in and just has a highlight there in the fifth set that's pretty amazing, the run that she went on at the service line. Let's start with Shayla, though. When you have to replace a setter, do you already know the direction you're going, or will that kind of be open? Coach Polt just talked about having to get somebody ready this year.
Yeah, you know, I think your offense is only as good as your setter, and so it's definitely a position where you want to look at a lot of things. You know, Shay brought a lot of great leadership to the team, and it was a year that we definitely needed that. We had to have somebody step up and pull the kids together, you know, it's not only just the leadership, but the hands, the feet, and how well they defense in the back row. So there's a lot of characteristics into a setter. I mean, we typically want some of our best athletes to be in that position with those skills.
The overlooked position can be setter, and it can be anybody that just comes in and plays back row. But Morgan Studi was the all-class, all-tournament libero anybody that played at the state tournament. She got that honor from the two papers.
Yeah, she just does an outstanding job. I mean, she's been playing ball, I think, since she was 3 years old, and credit to her dad. And, you know, she just loves the game, absolutely loves the game. And she will go the extra mile to, you know, watch the tape twice a night. And she does a great job of just reading offense. And she's varied. I mean, not only does she dig, but, you know, we had to stick her on the outside for a little while this season, and she did a great job of getting us through some matches there, but she's definitely much more of an asset in that back row, and you know, we're really working with her, trying to get her to communicate more, and she knows that, and she continues to get better and better every year.
Well, this season started with that first weekend. It was great a year ago, going to Beatrice and getting the win and getting the state notoriety. And this year, the young kids walked in and got their faces smashed in a little bit with some of that competition. And then I'm sure, obviously, the low point happened at the conference tournament. So what was the one thing? Was there something that happened that got this 13-match winning streak to end the season? Was there one key?
You're asking for a trade secret. you know, it wasn't one little thing, you know, and it's kind of funny when we all start talking about it when we're a group, like, you know, everybody did something different. It was, you know, it was really just a team effort to try to push people in the right direction. And there were a lot of things that had to be hit. You know, one was getting everybody healthy again, and getting Herbert back into the lineup helped a ton. But just, you know, the whole mental game and working together, and so there were, and it wasn't just like, you know, a light bulb went on. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of late nights trying to get us to that stage. And so I credit my coaches for, you know, really not giving up and letting these players really, you know, kind of go that extra mile and figure out what worked. And I think that, in the end, that's what it was. We figured out what was making us click and finally got it straight.
Is the second time better?
You know, it was...
Oh, you know the truth. The first time's great and the second time is almost as good, right?
It was just, it was awesome just because of, you know, all the people that were really doubting the season. And, you know, we even had some players that were doubting it, which was, to me, probably our lowest point of the season when the kids were like, oh, let's just get this over with. You know, we had a few kids that were kind of down and out and like, oh, boy, you know, we really need this coming to Jesus meeting now and we got to get it figured out. So to go from one extreme to the other, I would have to say this is a pretty special championship.
All right, Chris, enjoy it. Always a pleasure to cover the Stars, and thanks for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Doug.
You bet. Chris Connor, head coach. Thanks so much to the three coaches, and you know what? They deserve it. Congratulations, and hopefully we can talk a little more football as the week progresses. State football championship to Amherst and Overton. They went down yesterday. It just wasn't Amherst day. Overton got off to a slow start, and talking to Randy and Jeff, who covered the game for us yesterday, a bounce here, a bounce there. They were very even teams, and, you know, it's kind of cool that Hemingford, if somebody's got to go that's not from here, you know how it is. We don't live in the eastern part of the state. If you're not York East, and York sometimes doesn't even count, you know, there's not a whole lot of respect out there, so... best of luck to the teams in Class A, B, and D that are already in the finals. And today, it's Class C. As we said, Donovan Trumbull, Battle Creek, 5:30 on Classic Hits 98.9, pregame at 5. And then Aquinas and Malcolm are on the east side. The east side in C1, Lakeview and Ashland Greenwood, and should be maybe the state championship, but it's going to be a great game in Cozad. Boone Central, Newman Grove, and Cozad at 4 o'clock. We are back with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and a couple of emails right after this to finish things off on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Extend the life of your engine and save money. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and pick up 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $21.99. Keep your engine clean and lubricated with Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mondays are no good. Mondays make you use your alarm clock again and sit in a cubicle. But Tuesdays, ho-ho, Tuesdays are awesome. Why? Because that's when Wing Tuesdays happen at Buffalo Wild Wings. Every Tuesday, you can get specially priced wings, spun fresh in your choice of any of their over 20 sauces and seasonings. You want mild? They got mild. You want Asian zing? They got Asian zing. So when next Monday comes around, remind it how much better Tuesdays are. But I'm sure it already knows. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer,
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 20th and 21st at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. The Gateway Farm Expo, sponsored by Gavilon, Platte Valley State Bank, NTV, and Barney Insurance. The 2013 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 20th and 21st.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The UNK volleyball team is at home tonight to take on Missouri Western. 7 o'clock. They need your help, folks. Let's get that Loper program going again. They are coming off a couple of losses, and that just doesn't happen, even though they're against both teams that are ranked in the top 8 in the country. Lopers against Missouri Western tonight at 7 o'clock. You know what? go to the game and make sure you yell something that'll get Coach Quires to smile or chuckle or something. You know, just yell something at him, like in pregame warmups, or because then he's so focused after that. But get him to smile. Just throw something out at Coach Quires today as they play tonight at 7 o'clock. Also, congratulations to the Hastings College soccer teams. We knew they were getting into the NAIA National Tournament. Now we know when and where. The Hastings men will host Rocky Mountain, Montana, on Saturday. Hastings men are the seventh seed. The Hastings women did not get seeded, and they got a tough trip. Jeff, they got a tough trip. They got to go to the 13 seed. Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah, they got to go to Florida, play St. Thomas, Florida. That's too bad, Hastings women. Yeah, darn. Oh, let's see. Let me look at this real quick. Where could they have went? Let's say that they played the 12th seed. They could have went to William Carey, Mississippi. And if they'd have played the 14th seed, let's see who the 14th seed was. Eh, that'd have been okay. California, the Masters of California. They could have went to Kentucky, Florida. There's another one. Mississippi, Oregon. There's another Florida, California. They could have went to Spring Harbor, Michigan. Yeah, Davenport, Michigan. Boo. Cumberland, Tennessee. Martin Methodist, Tennessee. Yeah, there's about a 50-50 chance they were going to California or Florida, though, if you get by that. And the all-conference teams selected from the GPAC as well in soccer. Alex Geyer on defense for the men, and Amanda Olson on offense for the women are players of the year, and Chris Crank, the men's coach of the year in the conference. All right, let's get to the emails, and then Troutman's Tuesday trivia will be coming up. I think we got a good question today. First off, this comes from John and Carney. He says, Doug, the Big Ten Network is not giving the Huskers any love. Jerry DiNardo says Michigan State was way better than Nebraska. Really? Without the turnovers, they lose. Had to use a fake punt. Also, our patched-up offense took the supposed best D and moved the ball on them. MSU was overrated. It's okay. They can go to championship game and get housed by Ohio State. Did the Big Ten Network not see the game we did? Wow. Comes from John. This comes from Brent. Doug, at the beginning of the show, your voice levels hit a never-heard high from a man except Michael Jackson. Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself? Does Jeff know the medical knowledge to help you if it is needed? Just a concerned fan that wants to make sure my favorite hour of my day continues. Remember, safety first. We need you around. Well, Brent, that's very nice. You're talking about, you know, when we were talking about the call in the Patriots game last night, if New England would have got the call, then they're, oh, my gosh, oh, New England gets all the, oh, they get everything. Yeah, that's what you're going for. Okay, there you go. Troutman's Tuesday trivia right now. If you have not won in the last 2 weeks, here is your, or 2 months, excuse me, just your opportunity. Call now. $25 gift card to Troutman's is on the way. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you haven't won the last 2 months, you're eligible. We'll ask a question. The first person to get one of them right is going to get that $25 gift card. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the way we love to wrap it up every Tuesday. So call us now at 888-455-ESPN. ESPN 888-455-3776. A reminder that tomorrow our Husker lunch at Cunningham, Sean Callahan will be on hand. All right, here we go. Who are we chatting with?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, all right, here we go. It's NFL football. That is our main question today. The New England Patriots are a 3-point underdog at home against the Denver Broncos this Sunday. This is the first time the Patriots have been a home underdog since 2005. Who was the last team to be a favorite at the Patriots?
Indianapolis Colts.
Jeff, you're fired. That's correct. The first person right out of the gate. See, I thought that was a good one. And you are very smart. That's all there is to it. You are very smart. $25 gift card coming your way. Hang on the line. Jeff will hook you up.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You bet. Thanks for calling. I didn't even get it right away. I was trying to think who was good. I threw out Pittsburgh was my first guess, but that was incorrect. In fact, they've only been a home dog twice since 2002. The Dolphins were a favorite against them in December of 2002. November 7th of 2005, the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning were a 3-point favorite at New England. Wow. And Jeff says, in the meantime, the Rams have been a home dog 45 times since 2005. Kurt Warner, where are you, brother? We need you back. We're not getting it done.
Oh, we want to thank all three of the state volleyball championship coaches, Chris Connor, Kearney Catholic, Alan Van Cura, Hastings St. Cecilia, Kurt Pold of Giltner. Also to UNK head football coach Daryl Morris and to Hastings College football coach Tony Harper. We move on into the winter sports season on the college scene for the most part. Thanks for their help all season long. And congratulations to our Doug and Daddy Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge winner. It goes to Rock Bottom 221. He edged out Roger 9303 by 1 point. But you both get prizes. So, guys, pick up your prizes from Fanatics and check your ESPN.com inbox for details on how to do that. And to get entered every week in the Fanatics Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge, go to the Doug and Daddy page at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tomorrow, Sean Callahan, Husker Online. We'll talk with Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, and Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach. Plus, we will have more on the new Storm hockey coach. It's all tomorrow from our Husker Lunch at Cunningham's at 11. Enjoy your day, and good luck to the area football teams. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!